one quick text follow-up to our last conversation we were having about Bermuda grass. Greg wanted to know how to prepare the garden correctly to keep Bermuda grass from coming in. Jay, outside of constantly pulling it out, what does somebody do if their garden bed's already invaded by Bermuda grass?
Well, you really kind of have to either work around your existing vegetable plants and pull it once the garden is there, or in some cases, here at between seasons, you're going to want to do some more digging and trying to remove it. Of course, as we go from winter to spring, that Bermuda's not actively growing, so you really can't use any kind of sprays to get rid of it. So you really are relegated to just kind of digging down, pulling it out, and that's really your only options. Is either to do this conversion and this eradication, if you're going to do it chemically during the spring, summer, and fall. And actually, the best time to do it is late summer and fall, as those plants, that Bermuda grass plant, is trying to store up carbohydrates. It's very absorptive. That glyphosate is very effective if it's applied, in the late days of summer going into fall. But through the winter, if it's not growing at all, it's just not going to work. And, just kind of have to dig down, pull it out. Of course, the flip side of that is you're not going to get a lot of Bermuda grass invasion this time of year either, because it's not growing very much. It's going to be when it warms up in the spring, you're going to find out how good a job you did or didn't do by how much of it comes back and when it comes back in the spring and summer.
So after all that talk about killing Bermuda, Jeremy's on the line and he wants to plant it.
There you go.
Let's see if we can help Jeremy out this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I just bought our first house in summer, and the backyard was in pretty rough shape. Crabgrass, other weeds, pretty sparse. We've got a little boy and a couple dogs, and we want a nice lawn come spring. And I'm just overwhelmed with resources on where to start. Get contradictory information. Do you have any websites, blogs, news articles, whatever that you could recommend?
Well, both the folks at our two major local turf suppliers, which are Evergreen Turf and Western Sod, both have pretty good websites. Both have a lot of information. They have handouts. We've got some in the nursery that we can provide to you free as to how to go about and start it. But basically, you've got to get the ground ready. I would always recommend putting in a sprinkler system, some type of irrigation system. Automated is even better. Lawn turf takes a fair amount of water, and to try and do it by hand with a sprinkler is a pretty cumbersome task. And if you want to have a really nice lawn, and if you've got kids, that's the essence of xeriscaping, is we match our landscape to fit our lifestyle. If you've got kids and pets and you're going to be using that lawn and playing in it, then by all means have some turf. If you don't, then don't. There's no reason to have it. But if you're going to have it, then it ought to be a really good one. And an irrigation system properly engineered and well done and well laid out is the first place to start. Then preparing the soil, making sure that the first couple of inches are nice and loose with some good organic matter, and a very level, get the clods out, get it nice and level, and then lay your sod. This time of year, you can buy sod that's been overseeded with ryegrass or a winter type cool season grass. So you can just lay it out. You're gonna have a nice green lawn next summer. The ryegrass will die and that hybrid Bermuda grass will just come right on back. So you can lay sod just about 365 days of the year here, but the preparation, the irrigation system, and preparing the soil are the two most important tasks there.
It is worth it with pets and kids, though. It really is.
That's the only reason we started ours.
Yeah, now my kids are gone, so I'm actually very seriously going to contemplate it, and I'm going to do it. I just don't know what direction I'm going to go, but I'm going to take the front lawn out.
Yeah, we're cutting our backyard in half. It's a pretty big piece.
Cutting down the size of the backyard. I still have some grandkids that come over, not as often as I'd like, but but we're still going to have some space for that. And I have these three furry creatures that live back there that need a little grass too. So, but you can be responsible. You can cut it back, and you can also really pay attention to how much you water it. Keep it well fed, keep it nourished, and they won't use as much water. Make sure your sprinkler heads are operating properly and not running down the gutter and the sidewalk and the street and that sort of thing.
Congratulations on your first home, Jeremy. The chat had called in earlier from Tucson talking about mesquite tree. Let's see if we can bring him back on and help him out as we wrap up the garden hour here at Rosie on the House. You with us, Chad?
Yes, I am. Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I have a fairly nice mesquite tree, and it's about 16 inches at the trunk, and there's three main branches coming off of it, and one of them is plagued with mistletoe. And I've been wanting to cut it out, but I'm afraid to do it because it's about a little less than a third of the branches. So I'm wondering if it's even possible and if now is a good time to do it.
Well, the only way to get rid of mistletoe is to prune it out. It's a parasite. It's living in the tree. It's living off the system of the tree. You know, there's nothing you can put on the mistletoe that will kill it, that will really not harm the tree. So pruning it out, now if you can just prune the mistletoe out and not have to prune any more than what you have to, would be the way to start, and then see what you're left with and, you know, and take a look at the tree and see if anything more needs to be done. But unfortunately, you either live with the mistletoe and hope it doesn't spread too much, but you never know. But it is draining the tree of nutrients, so it's a competitor, and you don't want to probably let it stay there. Plus, it can be kind of unsightly, a big old blob of mistletoe up in your tree. So I don't have a great solution for you.
We appreciate the call, Chad, and get to pruning. It's the first Saturday in December, so as our now 7-year tradition, we're broadcasting live in Prescott, Arizona for the annual courthouse lighting, the Christmas parade that starts at 1, but it's the first Saturday of the month, so there's also hot dogs and horticulture if you're down in the valley.
That's correct. If you're you're out doing your Christmas shopping, you can't make it to Prescott, we want you to stop by. We'll have some stuff on the grill for you. We might have a few more surprises besides just hot dogs today. Never know. But our grill master will be there, and we'll answer any questions you have about horticulture as well. And we've got a greenhouse full of Christmas cactus and poinsettias.
That's Harper's Nursery on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas. Stay tuned. 9 o'clock hour is our open line hour. If you've got a question for Rosie, 1-888-767-4348.